Recently, there has been a debate between two emerging factions on our side of things, which the distributist has dubbed aristocrats and plebeians. The aristocrats prefer a top-down, indirect approach focused on fostering elites through parallelism and not engaging the left head-on. Their thinking tends to be drawn from NRX theory. The plebeians prefer a more conventional, bottom-up approach, fighting the left through grassroots activism. They tend to accuse NRX types of cowardice and wanting to do nothing. The roots of this debate go back many months, but an early iteration of it took place on my cigar stream back in September. That was episode 49, Strategy and Tactics, in which Don the Pleb, aptly representing the plebeians, took on myself and Charlemagne, who were more on the elite side of things. Distributist has long been on this side of things as well. Now, more recently, on Cigar Stream 78, Yiz the Eunuch took on what she perceived as Panama Hat's pacifism in advocating Ride the Tiger as a strategy, which is, I would say, closely related to the first of these two approaches. And there was a rehash of sorts of the debate that we'd had earlier. Now, following that stream, the distributist then made a three-hour critique of the state of play, during which he levelled most of his points at Don the Pleb, who then responded with a one-hour stream of his own. I have linked all of these old episodes in the saga in the show notes, and I do not wish to misrepresent anyone here, so you can watch them all in their own words, and I'd encourage you to go and check them out, because many interesting points are made in those streams and videos. What I want to give you here is my take on the core nature of the disagreement, at least as I see it. I wanted to go through this slowly, spelling out ABCs and basics, because it will make it easier to see what, if anything, Don or Yiz disagree with. First, I have abstracted society into elites, those on top of the boxes there, institutions, those are the boxes themselves, and then plebs, which are the mass of people below. Now, first, some key NRX 101 talking points. These talking points are drawn chiefly from the canon of thinkers I have talked about endlessly on this channel: James Burnham, the Italian elite theorists Pareto, Mosca and Robert Michels, Bertrand de Jouvenel, Carl Schmitt, Paul Gottfried, many others, which were repackaged in a more internet-friendly form by Mencius Moldberg and other NRX writers. I'd encourage you not to see Moldberg as anything more than a gateway to this set of thinkers and their understanding of power and its functioning. So the first core NRX talking point I want to cover here relates to those black boxes you see, the institutions, and the idea that they are in any way neutral. They are not neutral, and they never will be neutral. They work in the service of a particular ideology. Let's call that ideology Globo Homo, and let's give it the colour blue. There are no neutral institutions. There is no institution, be it a university, museum, political party, corporation, branch of the state or civil service, local or Supreme Court, that is not blue in colour. This is not just the case in 2021. It has always been the case, or at least it has been the case since about 1945 and the birth of what I call the Boomer Truth Regime, though one could make a strong case for it starting earlier than that, maybe as far back as the 1890s, or some people will even push it back earlier again. Now, because of this, the entire gravitational pull of the establishment on our system is towards blue. Cthulhu always swims left, as someone once said. The idea that institutions, including things like the Federalist Society or the US Supreme Court or my constitution are somehow neutral or special or immune from this particular rule is a boomer delusion, which must be shattered into a million pieces. Another such delusion is the idea that society and its elites split into two groups, blue and red, with red people and institutions and blue ones. This too is an utter fiction. The red elites and institutions are a sham, a false opposition, a total nonsense maintained entirely to give the impression that plebs have a choice or a say in anything at all. This is what Moldberg dubbed the outer party. The plebs have no say, and there is no realistic red option. There are no red elites as things stand. Thus, a much more accurate picture of the state of play is as follows. The elites, the institutions, and the vast majority of the plebs are blue in colour. Normie cons and Tory voters and GOP establishment figures and Fox News hosts, the vast, vast majority of them are blue. Now, they come with a coat of paint, a thin, cheap layer of red paint on which you don't particularly need to scratch that hard to reveal the blue underneath. In Britain, this is much more naked, because the Tory party has given up any pretense of standing for anything but its own power and the total capitulation to the left's demands on all fronts. In the US, Donald Trump helped expose the extent to which this has also been true of the Republicans as well. Perhaps I am mistaken, but this is where it seems to me that there is some disagreement between myself and Don and Yiz, because Don and Yiz seem to want to use the existing institutions to bring about a situation like this, where you convert all the plebs, elites and institutions to red using a combination of people power and pressure through the institutions. Now, I will not speak for distributist Charlemagne or anyone else, but my view is that this game is entirely off limits. The system doesn't want red. The system will not brook red. The system would sooner drop all its pretenses and start a crisis of legitimacy and even a world war or two than allow red a genuine grip on any of its levers of power. Furthermore, this situation right here, in which you attempt to take institutions and convert swathes of plebeians into being red plebeians, is the wrong game to begin with. Why? Because all regimes, everywhere and always, all throughout history, are top-down. All political movements that ever got anywhere at all were top-down. All popular movements that seemed driven by plebeians were actually astroturfed and driven by elites. Think of Greta Thunberg. If you look at popular protest across history, it is Greta Thunberg's all the way down. What the plebeians think, quite simply, does not matter. The Overton window isn't set by plebs and normies. It is set by elites and for elites. An issue can have as little as 1% buy-in from plebs and still be pushed through by elites. And within a decade or so, it will be what the average person thinks. Now, Don, to his credit, he understands this. He's pointed it out many times. He says Andrew Breitbart was wrong. You know, it's not that politics is downstream from culture, it's the culture is downstream from law. The average person is little more than glorified livestock to the extent that their view affects anything at all. The proof of this can be seen in any issue, from the election last year to immigration or anything else you care to pick. The plebs' role is to consume product and to be shunted around like trucks by non-ruling elites who police the boundaries of the discourse in the service of power. The pleb may also be pressed into service to rubber stamp a leader every 4 years or so, with a nominal vote. In fact, who they actually vote for scarcely matters, but the pretense maintains at least the illusion of popular sovereignty. Actual sovereignty rests with minority special interest groups who have more power than any government. Corporations increasingly do bidding on behalf of those interest groups. You can ask Katie Hopkins about that. Just as governments do bidding on behalf of corporations. Any idea of a separation between the government, the state, big business, the media, and the courts or the police must be collapsed. The idea that these are distinct spheres with distinct competing powers is another boomer fiction. In the final analysis, they all serve Cthulhu. So faced with these realities of the situation as we find it in 2021, and with the realities of how power has functioned all through history in mind, what did Pareto say? History is the graveyard of aristocracies. What is my proposal? I believe Charlemagne and Distributist have similar, if not identical, ideas. Well, first, forget the idea of mass conversion of normies and plebs. The situation as we find it right now is more like this. The vast majority of people are blue. Note that I include in the blue number all establishment right-wingers and all centrist anti-woke types like James Lindsay. Let's say in 1,000 people we might be lucky to have one or two people we might realistically say are red. My first proposal is that these people and folks, it's you. It's literally you watching this. It's you, Dave. It's you, Charles. It's you, Don. It's you, Yiz. All of these people who are red must be leveled up, both in terms of learning and in terms of becoming your best self. If your understanding and ideological commitment is currently at 6 or 7, you should strive to make it a 10. The first step must be to create a vanguard of 10s. A 10 is not Jordan Peterson or James Lindsay or Dave Rubin. A 10 is someone who has total commitment, total rejection of the lies of the enemy, total embrace of the teachings of the red way and not the blue way. This is a rare person and a difficult thing to achieve because, recall, all the waters we swim in are blue. A 10 doesn't care about what a blue thinks of them. A 10 doesn't try to win favor with blues. A 10 doesn't try to convert a blue. A 10 does not react to the blues. A 10 does not work to attract the attention of the blues. A 10 should see the blues as one might see a horde of locusts or killer bees. They are virtually mindless drones who will behave as they have been programmed to. A 10, despite being surrounded by the ashes of civilization, knows what is good and true and righteous. A 10 has such a unity of mind, body and spirit that they have the inner strength to stand upright even as they are surrounded by locusts. A 10 is so completely red that he or she can be nothing else. A 10 will understand that not everyone can be a 10, and as soon as something becomes mass or plebeian, it will deviate from its core and dilute itself and open itself up to subversion. This is a point the Distributist made. If the idea of being a 10 is, quote, cringe to you, you'll never be a 10, in which case you should go back to Fresh Prince and forget about all this. It wasn't for you anyway. At the same time as we grow such 10s, decentralized nodes of pure redness around the world, they can network with each other. They can set up goods and services for each other, create art and culture for each other, made by 10s and for 10s. Don the Pleb asked how the left managed to do what they have done over the course of 100 years. To start with, this was how. Rogue elites totally committed, decentralized and networked around the world. As I said, this is things as I see them right now in April 2021. I made this because I thought an interesting conversation was going on, and I wanted to throw in my own two pennies. I can't speak for anyone else. So let me know what you think of my assessment and my ideas, and hopefully the conversation will continue.
By Foundations of Writing on the Academic Agency. To write clearly will help you to think clearly. The ability to communicate ideas in lucid prose is foundational to success in many areas, and it is a basic requirement in every walk of life. You will learn the parts of speech and come to understand the core functions of the English language, sentence construction and syntax, punctuation, style, and common mistakes. Once you see how mistakes are made, you will not unsee them. You will know for the rest of your life. Foundations of Writing. Buy it now.
Be sure to like this video and subscribe. And if you really like my content, maybe consider joining the channel or donating or maybe even buy a mug. I am grateful for all of your support. Now get out.